The countdown to the Phoenix is on.
Kiplenz went for home, a length clear. He's holding them at bay in control, and Kiplenz all of the way.
Trying hard, Tingle on top, but he's not making any impression at all. Typhoon Sammy smashes him, but Tingle on top.
He's chasing the track record now. Aston Rupee surges home, 28.77. Wowee, this is the future queen of greyhound racing. Wow, she's fast. So impressive again. Won it by 8 lengths.
Welcome to the official podcast of the TAB Phoenix. You're with Gareth Hall.
Great to be with you on this Thursday. This is episode 7 of the countdown to the Phoenix, and it is hotting up now with the state bodies who have a slot midway through their series to find out which greyhounds will be representing, which greyhound will be representing their jurisdictions, and also, of course, the Sports Entertainment Network, not far away, they tell me, of announcing who will be representing their slot, along with Sportsbet. But that has been a secret that everybody basically knows about as we welcome in the team. Let's say hello to Georgie Ferrucci. G'day, George.
G'day, Gareth. How are you this morning?
I am very well. And hello to you, Corey Smith.
Good morning, Gareth and George.
And our special guest today is the CEO of the Melbourne Greyhound Racing Club. Well, the CEO of the Meadows, his name is Ashley Baker. Hello, Ash. Welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me on. Thrilled to be on. It's taken 7 weeks, but at least I'm finally got a gig.
Well, you made a start. You said, I'm only coming on if you start it nice and early like we are this morning around 7.30. So I usually don't get out of bed to at least 8.30. Corey doesn't get out of bed to at least 9 o'clock. And Georgie says he's out of bed about 5.30 a.m., Georgie.
Well, with three kids, mate, 7.30 is a bit of a sleep in, yep. So I'm up and at them, mate.
Now, we're in Melbourne Cup week, of course, the Melbourne Cup on Friday night. Koblenz was impressive he dead-heated in his heat with Japara, but it looks like at the moment, Georgie, that the Sports Entertainment Network, headed by Troy Little, won't be far away to announcing that Koblenz will be representing them in the TAB Phoenix.
Yeah. Look, it's trending that way, isn't it? Unless they pull a real big surprise on draft day, I don't think that anything but Koblenz's name will come up. Look, he's just such a professional. I know he nearly got beaten in the heat of the Melbourne Cup, but look, that track got a little bit quicker. He still ran 29.45, and look, hopefully he gets around safe tomorrow in that Melbourne Cup, because there's some expected turbulence, Gareth, heading into that first corner.
We'll talk about the other slot holders and what they're doing in just a moment, but we'll go to Ash here. And Ash, when you've been analysing the build-up to the TAB Phoenix, has it surprised you with the interest in this race? How have you assessed it so far?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Gareth. I've been overwhelmed the whole way through, pretty much from when we released the terms and conditions back in sort of July through the application process, and then sort of even through the Melbourne Cup series, the talks sort of continue, because that plays a role in some of the slot holders, particularly SEN, as you mentioned. But even the New South Wales influence has been huge with Ground Racing New South Wales, one of the slot holders. They've been utilising the Daily Telegraph up there, which is massive. We're getting unbelievable traction in mainstream media up there. So, and the Perth series is getting a lot of attention. So there's all these stories, and it's exactly what we wanted when we announced an initiative like this. Is we wanted it to become a national race, and there were all these stories being told, and it's just amazing how much traction we're getting in just the first year, where we're still really learning a little bit about what this race is going to look like in the years to come, both as a race itself and also administratively. You know, in the office, there's lots of things we're learning along the way. So I'll be glad when the 3 weeks has come and gone, because it's been a pretty stressful period, but it's going to be an exciting build-up towards the 18th of December. Now we're getting so close.
So what's the process now, Ash, with the slot holders? When do they have to finalise their dogs?
Yeah, so they've got, I think the 10th of December is the final acceptances. And then we'll have our box draw on the 12th of December, and we'll have some fairly exciting news around the box draw in the next day or so, just around that format. We've had to wait sort of for the last minute because of Thrill of the Chase, which you boys are involved in. But that'll add even further element to the story along the way. And we'll build up for the final 6 days as we head into the 18th of December.
Ash, congratulations on the build up to this Phoenix. I think it's been fantastic, and as you said, not just in Victoria, but the whole of Australia has sort of embraced it, and we're getting to the business end now. Tell us a little bit about how the reserves will be picked. It's a question that I continually get asked among owners and trainers.
Yeah, so Greyhound Racing Victoria will soon make an announcement to all the participants, like they do when any sort of race is announced with certain conditions, and they'll call for nominations for the reserves. And the two highest ranked nominated greyhounds will become the reserves for the race. And that then allows, if one of the spot holders' dogs is scratched after final acceptances are announced, a spot holder can select one of those two reserves. They're just not allocated the number 9 or the number 10. They get to select those two dogs. So if a dog like Cablenz misses out, with a slot, he can nominate and become a reserve, and has still sort of got an opportunity to potentially participate in the race. And what we will do on the night is we will run a match race with, I think, 13,500 to the winner for the two reserves in the Phoenix.
Okay. Well, if Cablenz, hopefully the different judges to the Top Gun, if he doesn't make it, he might be first reserve there, Ash. We'll see how that goes.
I would be very surprised if he's not in the race. You're going to have two very good quality reserves regardless, I would say.
Hey, Ash, if you had to do something, like, I know that we'll analyse it after the Phoenix on Saturday, December 18th, but if you could change one thing, what would you change regarding the Phoenix right now?
Race-wise, I would love to see 4 reserves in the race, not 2, but that requires a whole legislative framework change around how the rules of racings operate. But next year, Gareth, I would change the timelines a little bit to give us enough time to sort out the first part of the process around the applications and the selection process. I'd love to sort of mix it up a little bit and probably have a bit more time to talk a little bit about all of the applications. This year we made the decision to keep that private, which was part of the terms and conditions. But I think going forward, there could be a real story around if we get 15 applicants next year, it's almost just as big a story about who misses out as well as those that get a slot. So little things like that, I think, will tinker a little bit post-race, as well as just making sure all the dates line up for those that want to run race series or do something differently to make sure that they fit into the calendar appropriately and don't impact any other races around them.
Now, Corey, is it true that you're organising with your mates to make sure they put in an application next year?
Oh, I'll have to run that by the boss, Ash, to see if I'm allowed to, whether there's...
That's all right. We'll sort it out for you.
Thing. But maybe I can tag on to RSN's one and be a bit of a silent partner there and maybe help you, Gareth, because I know how keen you are to get involved next year.
Because I think, Georgie, next year there'll be a lot more applicants because people understand what it's all about now, in a way.
Yeah.
And they can see what the prize is at the end of the day, and they can probably work out that, okay, well, I can actually put together an application, have a crack at getting a slot, because once you've got a slot, geez, you've got some power.
You're right. I couldn't have said it any better, Gareth, because greyhound people are a little bit like that. Even when they're breeding a litter of pups, Gareth, there might be a first season sire that they just sit back a little bit, let someone else work out, what sort of traits and characteristics he brings to the table. And then they just go bang. And I think they've seen enough from the Phoenix now to say, you know what, I want that power to hold a slot. Because I don't think this slot holder did the right thing with their moves. I don't think this slot holder did the right thing with their moves. They'll have their own opinion about, look, I would have locked up Cablenz already, for instance, some people might be saying. So, it's interesting. I'd say there's going to be a hell of a lot more entrants next year.
George, just having a look at the market as well for the Tab Phoenix. And I might go to you first here, Ash, just to get your opinion on it. How have you seen how Greyhound Racing New South Wales, I know you touched on it just before, but how have you seen how they have presented with the way that they've gone about the greyhounds and the connections trying to, well, they're on a campaign trail at the moment, trying to earn some votes to get enough votes to be the greyhound that represents greyhound racing New South Wales in the TAB Phoenix. It looks like there's one dog in particular that will be very, very hard to beat. I think George and I were having a chat about this the other day. They're probably $1.10, I would imagine, to be representing New South Wales, and that's Banded Ned, who's on the second line of betting there for the TAB Phoenix. They've got some campaign going, I think, there, Ash.
Yeah, and I love it, Gareth. We've been talking to one of our colleagues up at Greyhound Racing New South Wales, I think on Tuesday it was, and the voting had been open for 24 hours and they'd had well over 3,000 votes already in that competition. So that's amazing, because it'll certainly be reaching more than just the greyhound circles and the inner part of the industry. There's campaigns going on with one of the greyhounds out of Forbes, you know, and they're trying to rally the town around of 8,000 people to get them to vote for that. I think it was Good Odds Cash or one of those dogs.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing. All of a sudden, the race is now, you know, being pushed into country New South Wales off the back of a voting sort of campaign like this. So I love it, because we've got the race series being run in Perth, Queensland, and the New South Wales GBOTR running their series at Wenny Park. This just adds another dimension to the race, and it's attracting, hopefully, a new audience to at least sort of prick their ears and sort of think to themselves, what is this Phoenix? What's this race? What's $1 million? And creates a bit of interest, because, as we all know, there's a man in New South Wales that's done it very well with the Everest in the thoroughbred world. And year one was very controversial when that race was announced. And
yep.
Look at it now, sort of 5 or 6 years later. So these are the kind of things that help attract a new audience. So I think it's fantastic what Greyhound Racing New South Wales have done.
Do you prefer, Corey, that the jurisdictions that have a slot, do you prefer them doing race series or the way that Greyhound Racing New South Wales have done and done it a little differently?
Ash might think differently to me, but I like a mixture of things. I think race series can work well. We're probably seeing with like the GBOTA slot that it probably hasn't got all of the New South Wales dogs that they'd anticipated it originally, but then you've also got the GRNSW slot that are selecting. So I like the mixed bag. I think we touch on different markets in everything. You've got obviously WA doing their race series. You've got Ray Border, who's from South Australia, and he's doing some things like, I think he's named a race this weekend at Morphettville after the Phoenix, which is tapping into that market, and then Queensland's doing their thing. So I think there will be things that we tinker in-house for next year. And as to your point earlier about the with George, how there's going to be plenty of people that have obviously sat back this year and have probably pulled the trigger next year. We did have plenty of phone calls to the office about that with intrigue that didn't end up applying for a slot. So I think that we'll be able to touch different target markets next year. And I know how keen you are to get RSN on board. So I think every year it could be different, and we can do different things and touch on different target markets every year.
Hey, I'll go to you first of all here, George. Do you think there should be a TAB Phoenix for the States?
I'd love to see it. Yeah. Absolutely, it'd be fantastic, because we've got some very good stays around at the moment. But to the guys' point, isn't that what the Phoenix was all about? Promotion of our sport. And that's exactly what's happened. For the naysayers, this is what I'm talking about. We need to promote this great sport. And then on the back of that, if we get out to places like Forbes or wherever, and even if, say, 5% of those people say, you know what, I really want to buy a pup, and we have avenues for people to get involved in the sport, then it's done its job. So then this is only year one. Just wait a couple more years. If a great story comes out of the first year of someone winning the Phoenix, etc. So I think it's absolutely fantastic. If it can expand and then become a race for the stays as well, Gareth, bring it on.
I was just looking at Racing Queensland's results there from the last financial year, Ash, and looking at Greyhound Racing, like it's up to $1.4 billion, up 37%. From its previous year. I know that we're in a COVID year, but they are making inroads. Well, they've left harness racing behind in a wave, and harness racing had a positive result. They went up 29%, but they're still nowhere near greyhound racing now. And the greyhounds are making inroads into the gallops turnover.
Absolutely. And I think these sort of initiatives are what attracts that 18 to 35, that real target market that we're looking for.
people that have access to, you know, wagering, different wagering providers, where they like to sit and talk to their mates about the good dogs and things like the Phoenix and initiatives like this. And ground racing is such a good product for that market. And it's just shifted a little bit from the thoroughbreds and the harness and gravitated towards ground racing. And I think it's not just because of COVID. Yes, that was, pandemic certainly had an upswing and wagering across the globe. But I think when you've got all these good stories going on, you've got a fantastic Melbourne Cup series, like probably eight of the best heats I can remember, a great final, and then you move into races like the Phoenix. But you've also got all these other things going on in WA and in Queensland with their series, and then the GBOTA. It keeps all those punters talking about ground racing, and that's what the Phoenix does. It brings a national, brings one product together nationally, and I think we've seen that shift upwards. It'll be interesting to see what happens in 2022. That'll no doubt sort of come back and normalise a little bit, but I'd be surprised if we lose a lot of our customers next year. I think you'll find we've probably converted quite a few, and that's great for our industry.
All right, Power Rankings, Georgie. We'll start off with you. I know this is Ash's favourite part of the podcast, so we'll keep him on here.
Okay, so Aston, Rupee and Koblenz seemingly pick themselves every week.
Yep.
I'm still big on WoW, even though it looks like he's got a slim chance of getting through unless he gets voted in. Typhoon Sammy, again, for the second week running, was the only greyhound to reach 70 k's an hour as a top speed during all Melbourne Cup heats, which is incredible. And you'd think that Bandit Ned I really have liked their promotion online.
Yeah.
And if what we're hearing is true, that he is in the box seat to win that spot, well, he's got to be in the top five as well. What about you, Gareth?
Well, I don't mind Greyhound Racing New South Wales promotion, the way that they've gone about it. But I would have loved to have seen, like, maybe the top two greyhounds and have a match race. Like, if WoW and Bandit Ned race together, then I think we get to work out who's the best dog to represent New South Wales. But Bandit Ned, when he came here, geez, he's got a lot of ground to make up. I just hope that he's, when he arrives here, that he's competitive in the Tab Phoenix, Georgie.
Yeah, there's always a question mark if it's purely a popularity contest.
Correct.
Sort of, I understand that. And yeah, look, I think Connections really want to redeem themselves. Look, it's, you know, to come here and race at the Meadows against the best dogs, it's not an easy thing to do. So they know Bandit Ned's better than that, and he clearly is better than that.
Yep.
Obviously, he's trialling the house down, but he needs to perform at the highest level at the Meadows, and they want another shot at it.
My top five, Aston Rupee, of course, Koblenz. I think Typhoon Semi definitely has to be in those calculations right now. And then I'll throw in a greyhound like, you have to put Bandit Ned in because you think that he's definitely going to get a spot. And well, she's fast. Looks like she'll be representing sports. But is that still the case, Corey? Is that what you're hearing?
Definitely not 100% confirmed, but I think they are pretty sorted in that regard. I'm certainly not going to make an announcement for them or anything.
Oh, come on, Corey. Why don't you just... Yeah, this is your chance to be like the exclusive newsbreaker in greyhound racing. It's been like...
I'm definitely not the Tom Brown of greyhound racing. That's not something that I'm aiming for.
Potentially, my sources tell me that the sports bet guys have potentially signed up Calgrino and she's fast. Is that what you're trying to say?
Potentially is the perfect word, Gareth. I'm happy to roll with that.
Yep. All right, then.
Gareth, yes. Can I butt in here? I'm going to ask you this question, right? Would you go away from where she's fast and what you've seen in the last couple of weeks, or would you stick fat?
Well, this one's a good one for Ash to bring up as well, because he's a man that's been in promotion and marketing and administration. Now, well, she's fast is a greyhound that you would definitely say she's not in the top five greyhounds in this state. There's no doubt about that. You could pick better options, I would imagine, to be better chances in the Tab Phoenix than well, she's fast. If she draws an inside box in the Meadows, at the Meadows in the Tab Phoenix, she is a chance. But if she draws outside, she's got no hope. But you could say that for the majority of the field heading into the Tab Phoenix anyway. What well she's fast does for Sportsbet is that she's a lovely and a wonderful marketing greyhound to promote their slot. She's got the name. She's She was the quickest ever greyhound to make her debut there at Sandown. So she has all that about her, Georgie, which is easy to promote. And I would imagine that Sportsbet, Ash, it's not all about picking the best greyhound. I don't think they necessarily care if they win or not, but it's about picking a greyhound that they can market. And I think, well, she's fast, they believe anyway, is their best greyhound to do that.
Yeah, that's a good point, Gareth. They're all about connecting their customers with their product, and that's what they'll be striving to do. I'm sure deep down they would love to win the race for an extra bit of cream on the cake, so to speak, but it's all about how do they use their slot to market their product and their business as well as the race. So they would certainly be thinking more about the marketing aspect of it. But that being said, a lot changes in ground racing week to week, as we know, and we've seen that she's probably battled a little bit through the Melbourne Cup series as opposed to running good time in those lower class races, and she's going to then have to step it up again and come to the Meadows, where I don't think she's raced yet. I think she might have trialled there, but I think all her racing's predominantly done at Sandown. So
yep.
It's a really big ask from a racing point of view for her to show up there on the 18th and get the job done. But I think, I don't know whether we've spoken about it on the podcast yet, but there will be something announced between Sportsbet and SEN for the 4th of December at the Meadows. So just sort of stay tuned with that, which will involve those two slot holders and a bit of a promotional lead up to the Phoenix at the Meadows on the 4th of December.
All right, then I'll ask you this question then, Georgie. Coblenz and Welshie's fast in a match race.
Coblenz.
All right, then.
Yeah, and look. I am the firm believer that there is a group race for Wow She's Fast in her future. I thought her Melbourne Cup run was pretty good in her heat, but look, she's just so young, and it's hard to take on these type of season performance. I'm just thinking, sort of in my mind's eye, that do you go for a Wow that's actually won a Group One at the Meadows, or do you look for a Wow She's Fast? You know, that sort of theory. But I totally understand she's very marketable.
All right, then, Corey, we need your top five.
So before I kick these off, last week I nearly got laughed off this podcast, nearly lost my spot when I mentioned I'd had a dream about a dead heat between Aston Rupee and Coblenz. I wasn't far off.
Well, you were a little bit. Japara's no Aston Rupee.
We've had Coblenz, though. I've gone for a dead heat, so I'm going to keep the campaign rolling, and we're going to have Corey's dreams every week.
But all right, settle down. Your boss is here. Hey, just quickly, Corey, and I'll go to Yuren once again, get the administrator's point of view on this one. Do you agree with the rules regarding the dead heat?
It's a tough one. I think yes. I do agree with it. I think the slowest time was out, but My pocket also said I wish Typhoon Sammy got a run, but Ash might have a different thought.
Ash,
no, I must admit it's the first time it's happened in the 2.5 years I've been in the industry. It was certainly in a race of that calibre, and I don't remember it. So it was sort of news to me. So I've been stewing over this one for nearly a week because on one side I don't agree with it, but I can't see how you can fixed it. You've only got eight slots to fill in a final, so it's a really tricky one. I just can't possibly come up with any other scenario to avoid that situation. It seems to be the fairest way to do it, but it doesn't sit entirely right with me. But I've got nothing to sort of.
Well, you belt the two dogs at dead heated instead of the slowest heat winner for the rest of the night.
What was that? Sorry.
So you ballot you would have ballot Japara or Coblenz.
Well, I that's the only alternative, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I probably would, but I get why the rule's there, and I don't disagree with it. It just doesn't sit perfectly with me, particularly when you get a track that was drying out and getting quicker as the night goes on. It just doesn't seem fair. But, I mean, that's the rules, and, I'm certainly not against it, but I
think you answered the question there. I think you answered your own question
I'm
there.
I'm sitting on the fence.
No, yeah. I think you're with us that you say, well, yeah, you it's either Japara or Coblenz going through and you're flipping the coin. Because the track is drying out, so it's unfair for the greyhounds that compete earlier in the meeting, I would imagine.
Yep.
That's just my humble opinion, but I can understand why you're sitting on the fence. Now, did we get to your top five, Corey?
No, we'll get there now.
Yep.
We'll
Sorry.
Georgie's in a hurry. He's got to take the kids to school.
Too busy talking about dreams.
Yes.
So, Aston Rupee and Koblenz, 1 and 2. I think we can just lock that in for now. Typhoon Sammy, I've got in at 3. I think he was still impressive. I know he was the slowest heat winner, but I'm very bullish on his chances. A few more weeks to prepare for a solid 500. One from the clouds in Good Odds Cash. I think she probably wins the GBOTA flight for Phoenix final on Saturday night and gets herself a slot in the race. And that gives her plenty of time to come down and see the meadows and get prepared. And then number 5, I've gone a 50-50 here. I've gone with the GRNSW voting process. I think it comes down to Bandit Ned or Jungle Juice. Bandit Ned, we've obviously spoken about, and Jungle Juice with the Forbes connection, shouting the Forbes pub. So if Ash fires me between now and then, I think I might have to head up to Forbes on that.
Go Jungle Juice.
December Phoenix night and enjoy the free beverages that will be provided if he gets that slot. But Bandit Ned also doing a massive thing for charity as well. So there's a couple of worthy recipients, and then there's obviously also Wow and 7 other dogs that could also win that spot. But that's my top 5 for the week.
Now, it's exciting. We found the value early doors regarding Koblenz for the punters out there with the Tab Phoenix a couple of weeks ago when he was about $12. He's now, I can't believe he's still not closer in the market to Aston Rupee. $6 is still a bet, and so is Typhoon Sammy, Georgie. He's $1.10 to represent the Tab slot, you would imagine. After his performance there on Friday night in his heat of the Melbourne Cup. So he's at $6. So I still think those two greyhounds are the value.
There is, and there's one really interesting greyhound that's on the pre-post market. His name is Silver Lake, Gareth. Now, this is a greyhound that I think after a couple of starts broke the track record at Ballarat.
Yep.
And now is in the hands of Jason Thompson.
Okay.
Now, he's clearly one of the fastest, he was slated as going to be one of the fastest greyhounds we've seen, even at a young age. I think he went 29-14 on debut at Sandown Park. That could be the only smoky there, Gareth, but you'd think Typhoon Sammy's probably got the points on the board.
Where do we see, when do we see Silver Lake then?
Don't know. You might have to ask
Jason
next time you speak to him, yeah.
Geez, he might be a,
interesting.
He might be like it could be like to the last week or so. That would be fascinating.
Did he not run at Warragul recently?
Yeah, he was a bit of a naughty boy at Warragul too long ago.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the fly in the ointment there. Yeah. He's got some sort of chasing issues, but
well, that's he's a concern in greyhound racing, Georgie.
Yeah, but look, he's in good hands, so yeah. And he's very, very fast.
He needs to go to that dog whisperer Cal Greeno was explaining to us the other day. what's that gentleman's name that helps those dogs, Georgie?
Are you talking Peter Gavin? Is that right?
I think it is, yeah. He's the dog whisperer that helps the dogs that have been naughty or need a little bit of meditation and some counselling in a way. But let's hope
a bit of yoga.
Yeah, a bit of yoga. Which I think Ash has been in it. Like, we better go because Ash has got to get to his yoga class right now.
I've got kids to get to school, mate.
Okay. You'll know that. You'll work that out in a couple of years, Corey, they tell me. Always a pleasure, lads. Looking forward to the Tab Melbourne Cup. What's your tip in the cup before we let you go on the Friday night? We'll start off with you, Ash.
I'm going to go with Koblenz. Just that early speed. I love those. If he gets to the first corner in front, he'll be hard to run down. I just worry about him over those last sort of couple of steps. But I think he still adds a little bit of value at around that 3-350 mark.
All right, Corey.
Yeah, I'm going Koblenz as well. It's a sticky map. But I think if he can go 496, 497 at the first mark, like we know he can, I think he can clear Aussie Secret, who might do some damage behind him running off the track and give him a few lengths clear up the back.
All right then, Georgie.
I'm going to say Aston Rupee, and then if he happens to win the Phoenix, he smashes all Australian prize money records, so I'm sticking with the champ.
Yep, Glenn Round's a shout if he wins the Phoenix and the Tab
Melbourne Cup. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Borders. Good on you, boys. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Gareth.
There we go. Great to catch up with George Ferugia, Corey Smith, and our special guest, the CEO of the Meadows, Ash Baker, on episode 7 of the Tab Phoenix. It's Gareth Hall signing off. Enjoy your week. Enjoy the Tab Melbourne Cup on Friday night. We'll catch you again as we continue the build-up next week for the Greyhound's newest race, the only slot race in greyhound racing in the world, of course, the Tab Phoenix.